That's the most obnoxious fucking song. Ah! Margaret, was that you?
That was me, yes. That was a very rare... I'm amazed you heard that.
That was you?
Yes, that was me.
And you got the gig how?
Frank knew Gene Roddenberry, and I walked into the studio one day. Why?
Well, you know, it's...
Excuse... Oh,
oh, my God, that sucked. Not that I don't... It's not that I don't like Star Trek. Of course, everybody loves Star Trek, but... And I always used to love that open, too. I remember the old open. I'm old enough to remember when Star Trek was on NBC at 10 o'clock at night, I think on a Thursday. I didn't see too many of them because the motherfucker was on a school night. I mean, they couldn't have scheduled it in a worse goddamn place. The only people, as soon as it went off the air, the students at Caltech started a protest. As soon as Star Trek was canceled, Caltech students put together some kind of a protest outside of NBC. They're college students, so they could stay up at 10 o'clock, you know, smoking dope and drinking and shit. But it was on at 10 o'clock, and it started out space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. It's a five-year mission. It had a five-year mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilization, to boldly go where no man has gone before. Okay. Well, over the years, they changed it to... its ongoing mission, where no one has gone before, because they didn't want it to be, you know, all fucked up and sexist and shit, man. So that was how it started. And that's all I know about the show. And as soon as it went into reruns, everybody watched it. I watched it when by the time it went into heavy reruns, oh, maybe it was before, but I was in Florida, and I'd started in radio, 1973. And Clive Thomas was the morning guy at WBJW. It's my first gig, and I was doing overnights. So we crossed paths, and he and I would trade off Scotty impressions. You know, I've given her all the power I can, Saturday. You know, that kind of shit. And it just sort of took off from there. It was very much a phenomenon of syndication. Of if ever syndication made a show, it made Star Trek. Because Star Trek wasn't shit when it was on NBC. But when it went into syndication, it became a monster, just a fucking monster. I can't imagine who. And here's the thing. Usually a show doesn't catch syndication until it's still like five. Well, maybe they'd made 100 episodes. You usually don't get to syndication until you make 100 episodes. And it seems like there were a shit potload of them. It was only on for 3 years, I think. And but I guess in those days they made like 9 million episodes a year. I guess maybe 26 episodes or something like that. A year, you know? I mean, I was reading, there was a show on called Rawhide, which you guys know, probably know when I was a little kid, I was a big fan of it. But Rawhide was, you know, it wasn't an easy show to shoot because they had a lot of exterior and they had a lot of stage stuff. Sometimes you see a campfire, well, they shot that on a stage, it was so obviously fake, you know? But then there were times you saw them out riding their horses in the hills and shit. You know, sometimes around here, like Thousand Oaks, I think, was a location. Thousand Oaks was a location for combat. One of these days, I had to take my camera out there and show you the... You guys are fans of combat. You'll recognize the outdoor, you know, scenery. A lot of oak trees in Europe, you know, when they were fighting the Germans. A lot of dry brush and... Anyway. So, what was I saying? Something about locations. Yeah, Rawhide. That show was so hard to shoot that there was a guy who became famous in the business. He was one of the set guys. I don't know what you'd call him. Maybe he was a line producer or something for Rawhide. And he would start breaking the set down and moving it to the next location while they were still shooting the episode. So he constantly was on the move, constantly moving shit, constantly moving it on to the next place. And he was so efficient at it and so, you know, so good. People started to you know, copy that technique where you, you know, while you're shooting this here, you take the shit and go to another town or wherever the fuck, or the next, you know, location and start doing some of the preliminary shooting on that episode. So, because I can't even imagine what it was like to... I saw some shots of combat some set behind the scenes set shots, and they had portable showers and stuff because obviously they got hot and they got sweaty. I saw a little bit of that when I worked on the show The Unit. They had outdoor exterior, you know, scenes, and it was shot up in Santa Clarita. And there's a studio up there, if you guys know Santa Clarita Studios. It's off the 5. It's just past Magic Mountain. And Santa Clarita Studios sits kind of high on a hill, and there's a whole, and it's really in kind of like what looks like a gigantic business park, but they took over a whole section of it. And there's stages, and then there's also, you know, the whole surrounding area. And the surrounding area is very deserty. And I remember we were shooting, I guess it was January, but for some reason, it was hotter than fuck. And I remember these guys coming in from out there, covered in dirt, sweat is just pouring down their faces. And it didn't look like it was fun, to be honest with you. Although, truth be told, I would love to do that kind of shit. So anyway, that's a little bit of what I remember from when I was Captain Kirk on Star Trek. No, I'm just obviously kidding. There's maybe one or two people who are listening right now who are like 10 years old. Were you Captain Kirk on Star Trek? Mr. Henry's. All right. I actually got that once. I can't see it. I couldn't see it then, and I don't see it now. Somebody said I looked like William Shatner. I don't know. Now, I was thinking about doing Kenny Slagg. So that would kind of put an end to the Margaret thing. I'm Kenny Slagg, and this is Kenny Slagg's Principles of Abundance in the 21st Century. What is this?
You asked me to pick music out.
Yes.
And then I see him,
Why are we listening to him? Hold on for a minute.
What do you mean, why are you listening to me? Because I... Yeah, okay. I think it sounds good.
Thank you.
But I've actually got a pretty good idea for a bit here. And what is your name?
Yeah, my name is... my name is Bill Tarner. Yes, my name is Bill Tarner. Yes, my name is Bill Tarner. And when we went down there, Bill, what did you think? I was not all that impressed. Well, I was not all that impressed. You know... I was not all that impressed, you know, because my name is
Bill Turner.
And what did you think?
I didn't think it was that great. My name is Darryl Weber.
And on my mother's side is Weber. The family was the Weber name, and we found out that they were the Weber side of the family were slave owners. And so, tell me about it, Darryl.
I tell you about it. We went down to Alabama, and we saw a broken down...
Well, that was my family home.
Yes, I understand it was your family home. It's also it was my family home, only the decidedly, distinctly different accommodations.
Well, I certainly understand that. I hope you didn't think I was...
I wasn't, but you're walking around and showing me everything, and sort of waving your hands across and saying, here is where the slaves slept, and here's where the white people...
Well, I was trying to give you a sense, you know,
I understand. You know, it was very painful for me.
No, I could imagine it would be very painful.
But was it painful for you?
Was it painful for me? Well, I could sympathize. But I wasn't a slave.
See, that's what I mean, Mr. Henry.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Babe, please don't go. Babe, please don't go. Well, I'm going to adopt a dog, and I'm really close to deciding, and, you know, I'm getting advice from people, and they're saying, well, you know, Phil, you want to make sure? I know, but I don't think I won't be able to adopt this guy. His name's Marley. He's that little Boston Terrier I was telling you guys about, and somebody had brutalized this animal with a baseball bat, but the dog had surgery, and I have to say, a very, very generous person, saved this animal, rescued this animal, and provided it with the medical care that it needed. And I saw a picture of him a few weeks ago. I said, God damn, he's a cute little guy. You can tell he's kind of got knocked around, but he's a sweetheart. And I asked, I said, does he have any medical conditions? Does he? No, he's fine. You know, the whole thing with crating dog, what is the fucking deal with crating a dog? I'm not a real big fan of that. I don't like the whole idea of enclosures anyway, but I was asking about that. So, long story short, Sunday I'm going to go over and meet him, and hopefully, you know, I think it'll go well. I don't know, as soon as I saw this dog and I heard his story, I was like, I'm the biggest fucking softy for shit like that. And I said, well, I got no choice. I got no choice. I got no choice. You know, like Robert De Niro in Raging Bull. Did you eat him? I got no choice. But what are you going to do? He's a beauty. He's a sweetheart. I should find a picture of him. But you know what? And rather than show you a picture of him, when he comes over, I'll show him to you. And I hope he's not camera shy. It just broke my heart. And so I said, Jesus Christ, you know. So I got a text today. Do you want to meet Marley? You want to meet him? I said, yeah, I do. Yeah, yes, I do. I don't know, man, you know. So, there you go. I was just telling a friend of mine about, texting a friend of mine about it. And she showed me the picture of this guy. And I went, God damn, man, look at that guy's face. You know, the poor little guy, you could tell where he'd been beaten, but he was fine. And I said, man, maybe I expressed some level of interest, but today she texted me and said, are you, you interested in, she said, do you want to meet Marley is his name? I said, yeah. Yeah, I do. So, what in life is more defenseless, even more than a human? Because humans sort of can figure out shit, but an animal just, it's like senseless pain as far as they're concerned. They're not even senseless. It's just like, this is their life. It's pain, you know? But fortunately, I live close to the beach. And the beach is like fucking Disneyland for dogs. I'm sure you've seen dogs. If you haven't, if you don't live near the beach, maybe you live near a lake, but you've seen dogs running down a beach. It's something. It's liberating to watch them because you can tell that they're just all, liberated. And there's all these smells, and there's other dogs, and there's all that fucking cool sand they can dig in, And then there's the water, and it's like the greatest place that was ever invented for a dog, except when your dog goes out there and takes a shit, pick that fucking stuff up. God damn, motherfuckers. I go out there and I see fucking dog shit, pisses me off. Anyway, and they got like little plastic bags and shit. I mean, Jesus Christ. They say that Harvey Milk, the late, great, supervisor from San Francisco, in a documentary I was watching, he powered into office if I'm not mistaken, he powered it. One of the things he powered into office on, here's a gay, he's openly gay, there's all these issues going on in San Francisco, but the one thing that he came up with, he solved the dog shit problem in the little parks in San Francisco. And he came up with that whole dispensary of plastic bags and shit like that. So you're not stepping in fucking dog shit. Dun, 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 dun. What? No, come on. Don't tell me that. Dun, 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 dun.
Well, Phil, this is a little bit of a treat. I don't know if you know this, but Frank and I... What are you laughing at, Phil?
Nothing.
No, not much. Where the fuck? God damn, man. Where is it? Where the fuck is it, man? Oh, I'd have to use that shit.
Well, Gene Roddenberry, my father, as it turns out, did some stunt work for Gene Roddenberry. Hey, this was really interesting. My grandfather...
Bobby's father? I'm old enough to be her father, but I wouldn't have done stunt work for Gene Roddenberry.
Gene Roddenberry. Did you know that my father did some... My father... almost did stunt work for Gene Roddenberry.
Did he?
Yes. Because
Bobby wants to call and just kind of, you know, make sure that people hear her. Okay. You know.
Gene Roddenberry.
So, are you familiar with Gene Roddenberry?
No, his name's Roddenberry.
His name was Gene Roddenberry.
I know what his name was. My father almost worked for him. I had an uncle that, I didn't know this, but I had an uncle that was a, what do you call it?
I don't know. A jailbird?
What a cunt.
Right. Gene Roddenberry. I love people who just fuck their, you know. Yeah. You know Gene Roddenberry. Did you ever know Gene Roddenberry?
Who?
Gene Roddenberry. Man, did Star Trek. Gene Roddenberry? Gene Roddenberry, right. Anyway, so I was out there, and I said it, Mr. Roddenberry, and then they'll look at you and go, I mean, Roddenberry, because they know they've... All right.
I.
Hey, man, what the fuck is with this song?
What's wrong, Kyle? Man, these kids, man, talking shit, making me feel bad. Man, fuck them kids, bro. Look around, bro. Look at life. Man, you're right.
See this water?
You see these fine bitches over here?
Yeah,
water. See these trees, man? You see this water?
I guess it is okay.
Come on, man. You got so much more to appreciate, man.
Man, you know what? You're right.
You damn right I'm right. I can't remember a time I was goddamn wrong.
Man, thanks, little boat.
Hey, man. That's what I'm here for.
Little boat, look.
I ain't been getting high. Well, maybe ain't been getting high.
All right, cool. Just gonna have to do that song again because see this water? Man, fuck these kids. What did I watch today? I want to tell you guys about a good movie I saw. Maybe I didn't see a good movie. Maybe it was my fucking imagination. I haven't seen anything that's worth a shit. All right, we're cool. We're doing that. We're doing this. We're doing that. We're doing this. I'm ready to go, man. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go. Let's do it. Okay, Lunger, let's do it. Ah, shit. Wrong.